Radio.
These readings made me think of a conversation I had with a friend about 5 years ago over some beer and pool. And this guy, back in high school, he had dropped out. He got involved in a group of kids who were doing drugs, petty crimes, things like that, Blacktown. And that was his lifestyle. At about 20, he got into business with his cousin as a salesman and started earning quite a bit of money, which went into paying for that lifestyle. But about the same time, he met a group of Catholics and he would go with them to a Bible study. So he started being exposed to Scripture. And he tells me there was a moment in his life where he had Mark chapter 8, verse 36 going through his head. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? And so he threw away his business, he cut that out, he changed his life, and he was baptized, became a Catholic. But then at this conversation around the pool table, he was telling me, you always hear stories about people who convert and then they live happily ever after and all's hunky-dory. He says, they never tell you that it's not like that. To be a faithful disciple of Jesus takes a lot of effort every day for the rest of your life. He says, oh, just such a struggle. But have any of you ever wondered that? I mean, because baptism, as we heard, purifies us. It cleanses us completely. The same with the sacrament of confession. It's often called a second baptism. As we heard in the first reading, about the flood. Now, the flood came and washed the world clean, and a few people were saved through the waters in the ark. Another Old Testament image is the chosen people. They were freed from slavery in Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea, and then entered into the promised land through the waters of the River Jordan. These are Old Testament types of baptism. And baptism, the very word, comes from the Greek baptizein, and baptizein means to submerge or dunk somebody in water. So St. John the Baptist was literally going around baptizing people, dunking them in water. Now, Jesus also got baptized by him, not because he needed to be purified, but he did, he purified the water. And so when we're baptized, or our second baptism in confession, we are completely clean. Why doesn't it last? Why don't we stay in that state? Why do we keep tending towards sin? Last year we received five of our youth group, five young adults, teenagers rather, into the church. Now one of them, when we were teaching about baptism, said, like, I'm going to be completely pure, so clean. And he's like, yeah, you are. And he's like, that's amazing. I am going to be completely holy for like one moment of my life before I sin again. Now, I never told him that that's what happens, but he knew it already. Why is that the case? The reason is because God completely and absolutely respects our free will, and he doesn't force us to stay holy and with him. He forgives us straight away and makes us pure, but afterwards our wills, we're free, and often they start to wander again and we fall into sin. And even if we got a strong will and can keep our will in line with God's will, we have our desires to contend with and they can go crazy all over the place. And so we need something. We need to train them and keep them in check. We need Lent. Because when the floods came to purify the earth, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. When the chosen people left Egypt, the slavery, they went in the desert. It took God 40 years to train them. It took God 40 years to change their habits. One of my favourite quotes, by the way, is, we make our habits, and then our habits make us. Our habits make us. But we get to choose to make them. And God spent 40 years in the desert doing that. And then in today's gospel, Jesus himself, after he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness for 40 days. And he was tempted. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way that we have been, but did not sin. Jesus subjected himself to our temptation so he could suffer with us, so he could give us the grace to be able to overcome our temptations. He has purified these 40 days, and that's where we come to Lent. These 40 days have a special grace, a special power to help us overcome, to help us to realign our will with God's, and to help us become the masters of our desires. Because if we don't become masters of our desires, then they're master of us, and we are enslaved by them. And so in this holy time, we have our three spiritual weapons: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So this Lent, let's work out how to use these spiritual weapons usefully, productively, that we can win this battle. So when we fast, when we're giving things up, let's look, what is it that I'm attached to? Where do my desires run away from, and where are they greater than my desire for God? And let's work on giving those things up. When we give our alms, when we give things away, are we giving from just our surplus? Is this going to really change our heart? We have to give from our substance. I recommend you get one of those boxes for Caritas and whack it at Project Compassion, whack it at your front door. Whenever you leave home, think, I'm going to get my coffee on the way to work, you'll see the box. And you'll be reminded of those who don't get any coffee. $5, I won't have a coffee today, in the box. By the end of Lent, you'll have given up coffee and you have $200 for someone who needs it. Leave that box there. Give from our substance what's going to really, in a way, hurt us, but help us to grow, help us to become masters of our desires. And when we pray, maybe we need to take up more prayer, but maybe the prayer we do is grown cold. Maybe we need to reignite this relationship of ours with our Lord. Maybe a bit of scripture reading in there can help spice it up, for want of a better word, to bring the romance back into our God relationship. Spiritual reading is beautiful at that. We've got the CDs at the back of the church and some books there. So this Lent, we know that our confession purifies us straight away, but we have to keep working. Use this sacred time to train our will to be in line with God's and to be the master of our desires. So let's take up these weapons of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving so that we can be master of our desires and Jesus Christ can be master of us.
As a free, not-for-profit service, Credio requires the support of people like you to help keep us going in our mission. To donate, visit credio.org.au/donate.